ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ जयतमिनन्दस्य जनाञ्जनशलकया चक्षुसुमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनुविष्टां स्थपितां येन मुचले स्वायां प्रगदं वयं ददति सापदन्तिकम्। We're hearing what is known as the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, which means that this Srimad Bhagavatam means the beautiful literature which is fully with, or in conjunction with, or from, or even the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This literature was first spoken by the Lord Himself to Lord Brahma. And we will hear later in the 9th chapter of the 2nd canto how Lord Brahma requests Narad Muni to expand and make it easier to understand, clarify and expand these four original verses that the Lord has given to Brahma, and Brahma tells them to Narada and says, expand it. And now this Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. And it is very, very sweet and very powerful. And it was originally, again, spoken by the Lord to Brahma because of the Lord's being pleased with Lord Brahma. Brahma had executed tapasya, austerity. And the Lord was pleased with the fact that Brahma had painstakingly done something for his pleasure. That is actually bhakti. Whether we painstakingly do something with bhakti for Krishna's pleasure, or, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam param tvayam yomam bhakta prayasati taraham bhakti paritam. The word bhakti is used twice in that verse to signify that even if we offer Krishna one leaf, one fruit, some water or a flower, but with bhakti, Krishna says, asnami, I will take that. I will accept it. So bhakti is actually what pleases Krishna. But that bhakti is sudolava. Actually, it is very rare. Because we are in the material world not because we want to offer Krishna something with devotion, because He is the Lord and because He is the ultimate enjoyer. No, we are in the material world for just the opposite reason. Because we wish that we ourselves were the center of existence. And practically speaking, we are acting or trying to make arrangements so that we ourselves will be the center of existence, the Lord, practically speaking. As Prabhupada will explain in the purport to the verse we'll read today, is that the living being, the jiva, he is a reflection. He's tiny, insignificant, jiva atma, tiny soul, but a reflection of Krishna, in the sense that Krishna is a person, the independent supreme person, and we, although not independent, and although we are not supreme, although we are tiny and insignificant, an illusion, we are thinking ourselves supreme and trying to organize the rest of the world around that we are the supreme. And it doesn't work, obviously, because since everyone is doing that, we have a lot of competitors But that is the nature of the illusion of the living entity in his reflected state. And to get out of that reflected state, to be situated within our actual constitutional natural position, jivera sarupoi, krishner nityadas, as Krishna's servant, to help us with that, to bring us to that position, Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, and here the Lord tells Lord Brahma, this Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. So yesterday we read the first of the four slogans, Aham Eva Sam Eva Gre, Nanya Jada Sat Param, Paschadaham Yare Tascha Yo Vishishyeta Sosnyaham. That Krishna was explaining that he himself existed before the creation. Narayana Paro Vyakta. That the Lord himself existed alone before the creation, before anything else existed. Not exactly alone, but alone in the sense of the king being alone in the palace, along with all his paraphernalia, along with his servants, along with his intimates. So Krishna exists in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavan, before this material world is manifest. And after the material world is destroyed, it is only, again, Krishna who will exist. And also, in addition, this material world, when it is in existence, so in all three phases of time, before the material world existed, before the present, after the present, and at the present, when the material world exists, there is nothing in existence other than Krishna, because everything, everyone, Vishyashakti Paraprakta Chaitra Gyakya Tatapara Vidyakama Sangyanya Tritya Shakti Ishita. That all that it exists, Aparyayami Dasvanam Prakritim Vilime Param Jiva Bhutta Mahabaho Yedam Dayate Jagat. That the living entities plus gross matter, they are all Krishna's shakti, Krishna's energy. They are not Krishna, but they are Krishna's energies, none different from Krishna. So in that sense, everything that exists at the present is Krishna, none different from Krishna, as all the light and heat coming from a fire is not different from the fire itself. And everything that existed before the material world was created, that was Krishna, the spiritual world. And after the annihilation of the material world, Krishna will exist as well. So this is called Sambandha Jnana. This knowledge is required for us to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. Because we are imagining that we are supreme, but we don't have any power. And therefore, at every step, we are frustrated. Because we are trying to organize something that is beyond our power. So therefore, we must be frustrated. So we are not the supreme. So rather than trying to be the supreme, we should serve the supreme. And before we, who are very stubborn, will agree to serve the Supreme, we have to understand how much more powerful He is than us. It was He who existed before the creation, the entirety of the creation. Aham savasya prabhavo, mataksavam pravartate. The entire creation is simply coming from Him. And after Ratre agama vishaparta pavartite ahamagame, that the budva budva paliyate, that the creation comes and goes like the waves come and go. But Krishna remains the same. So he is so powerful, not touched by time, not being crushed by time as we are crushed by time. The source of everything. So before we will reestablish our relationship and say, oh Krishna, I am yours, please allow me to serve you, we have to understand who he is and how powerful he is. So, and this is the verse that we read yesterday, text 33 of the 9th chapter of the 2nd canto. The description was of the Lord's position in relationship to the material world. But yet, clearly, when we see this material world, we do not see Krishna. Even though he is everywhere, Bina Prakritamastadam. He is everywhere through his energy. Mama Tejo Angsa Sambhava. He is everywhere within the material world. Yet when we look at the material world, we do not see Krishna. We see glittery things made of matter. And the glitter attracts us, that we want to take it and squeeze and try to get some enjoyment out of it. When we see the material world, we don't see Krishna. We see that. We see the glittery external energy. So to understand Krishna fully and understand our relationship with Krishna fully, Krishna is going to explain the remaining part of this Sambandha Gyan in the second verse, text 34, which we will, Krishna allows, go through today. So this verse is Ritaritam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tadvidya ratmano mayam yata vasho yata tama Ritaritam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tadvidya ratmano mayam yato vaso yatatama. So this ritaritam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani, this means that what we see, what we view as valuable in this world, regardless of its little pieces of plastic about this big with hundreds and fifties written on them, or whether it's cars or trees or countries or rivers or lakes or oil or other people, regardless of what it is, whatever we view, whatever appears to have any value in this world to us, if we are seeing that thing, that object, without a relationship, as if it had no relationship to Krishna, we are seeing the things of this material world, whatever we see and place value on within this material world, if we are seeing it without its relationship to Krishna, because in the last verse we heard that there is nothing in existence that doesn't have a relationship to Krishna. So if we are seeing something and valuing it, but without seeing its relationship to Krishna, then tat vidyad, you should know atmano mayam, that this is my maya, my illusory energy, that's making this appear, first of all, valuable. While separated from me, it has no value, just like my finger. It has so much value. Without this finger, I couldn't do so many things. But if it was cut off from my hand, then what value would it be? It would just be sitting there, thrown away, practically speaking. Get it out as quickly as possible. So similarly, when we fail to connect something with Krishna, although it is actually, in fact, connected with Krishna, because there is nothing, in fact, that isn't connected with Krishna, that means that Maya, Krishna's Maya, is present. You should know, Krishna says, Tad vidyat atmano mayam. And then Krishna gives an example. You should know that this is my Maya that covers the living entity's vision. So he sees incorrectly. He sees matter as if it's worthy of being enjoyed and not seeing it in relationship to Krishna. That is Krishna's Maya. That is what Krishna's Maya does. And then Krishna gives an example. Yata basho yata tama. It is like a reflection in darkness. So we'll read Prabhupada's translation of that verse. This is the effect of Maya. It is like a reflection in darkness. We'll give an example of that in a moment. Here is the Prabhupada's translation. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Now, if the light is Krishna, or the sun, if the sun was right up there and it was Krishna, and then I had a mirror here, and by the power of that mirror, I shined the reflection over there. You would be seeing the sun over there? No. You would be seeing the reflection of the sun. And it would be giving off something like light, the reflection of light. And someone who is in darkness may think that reflection is very wonderful, and he may try to take it, to become captivated by the shimmering light reflected. And that shimmering light reflected, a reflection of the actual Lord, the actual Son, the spiritual position, that reflection is Maya. Anything that appears valuable in this world. If I take that mirror, did anyone have this ever done to them? Someone takes a mirror in the Gurukula, that you boys would do that, yes? They would take the mirror and they would shine it in people's eyes, the reflection of the sun. And what happens when the reflection of the sun is shined in your eyes? You're blinded. Practically speaking, you're blinded. And when you're blinded, all you see dazzling things everywhere. It's that kind of blindness. And when you're blinded in that way, when the reflection is shined in your eyes, if you're blinded in that way, you get yourself into so much trouble because you can't see anything as it is. So similarly, with the reflection of Maya in our vision, the reflection of Krishna, which is Maya in our vision, we do not see things as they are. And the specific symptom of our lack of vision is that we value things separate from Krishna. We see things as if they were separate from Krishna, while in fact, nothing is separate from Krishna. And the specific characteristic of the living entity in Maya is that he is so blinded, in Maya means he's enamored by the reflection, by the material world. The specific the specific result of that maya is that he cannot see Krishna. That is the specific result of the maya, of being dazzled by the reflection, is that he cannot see Krishna. Therefore, if one wants to see Krishna, who is existing at all times in Goloka Vrindavan, in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world, with unlimited bliss, if we wish to join that to get out of this trap of the material world, we have to stop being dazzled by maya. The process of getting away from that dazzlement, that confusion caused by viewing the reflection, the process will be described in the next verse. But at this point, we're supposed to understand that Krishna is everything, everywhere, in the material world, and he exists in the spiritual world as well, but eternally in the spiritual world. But we cannot see that. We cannot see Krishna in the spiritual world because of our attraction, separate attraction to the things of the material world, trying to enjoy them as if we were Krishna, because we think ourselves Krishna. Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatavasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, because we think ourselves the Bhokta, the enjoyer. Therefore, we are not able to see the actual enjoyer. This is the power of Krishna's maya. We'll read the first paragraph of the purport, because that sums up the last verse and this verse. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the previous verse, it has already been concluded that in any stage of the cosmic manifestation, its appearance, its sustenance, its growth, its interactions of different energies, its deterioration, and its disappearance, all has its basic relation with the existence of the personality of Godhead. And as such, whenever there is forgetfulness of this prime relation with the Lord, whenever we forget the connection between all in existence and the Lord, whenever there is forgetfulness of this prime relation with the Lord, and whenever things are accepted as real without being related to the Lord, that conception is called a product of the illusory energy of the Lord, maya. Because nothing can exist without the Lord, it should be known that the illusory energy is also an energy of the Lord. So that maya, which bewilders the living entities, is Krishna's maya. Because nothing, even maya, exists separate from the Lord. So that illusory energy is also an energy of the Lord. The Lord, the right conclusion of dovetailing everything in relation with the Lord, stopping to see things, stopping the vision of seeing things as separate from Krishna, that is called yoga maya, or the energy of union. And the wrong conception of detaching a thing from its relation with the Lord is called the Lord's devi maya or mahamaya. Both the mayas also have a connection with the Lord, because nothing can exist without being related to him. As such, the wrong conception of detaching relationships from the Lord is not false, but illusory. Now, in a few moments, we'll read what Prabhupada says about the distinction between illusory and false. But first, I'd like to read a little more that The Prabhupada explains about this. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada, or rather, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also quotes this verse, and in Prabhupada's purport, this is something that Prabhupada says about this verse. The absolute truth can be compared to the sun, which is appreciated in terms of two relative truths. The absolute truth is swatantra, or independent, and a relative truth is dependent. So the absolute truth is appreciated in terms of two relative truths, reflection and darkness, explaining this yata baso yata tama. The actual, it's very important that we understand the action of Maya within this world, because if we understand the action of Maya, that will help us get free from Maya. So here we're going to do some readings to explain the effect and action of Maya, so we can clearly see how Maya affects us. So there are two effects of Maya, yato basho yata tama, the reflection, in this verse it is said, the reflection within darkness. So what is darkness? Darkness is the absence of sunshine. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness doesn't have any independent existence. Light is independent. It's not that you can have light and darkness simultaneously, because darkness is simply the absence of light. For its existence, it depends upon the non-existence of light. So darkness is the absence of sunshine. And a reflection, these are two points that are brought up in the verse. What is darkness and what is a reflection? A reflection is a projection of sunlight into darkness. So where there is no light, when the sunlight is projected into darkness, not directly but indirectly, it is called a projection, it is called a reflection. Neither darkness nor reflection has an independent existence. The reflection, for it to be the, if the mirror is reflected, the sunlight is reflected through the mirror onto the wall, that reflection is not independent of the sun, nor is darkness independent of the sun. Neither darkness nor reflection has an independent existence. Darkness comes when the sunshine is blocked. For example, if one stands facing the sun, if one faces the sun, his back will be in darkness. Since darkness stands in the absence of the sun, it is therefore relative to the sun. It is a relative truth. The spiritual world is compared to the real sunshine, and the material world is compared to the dark regions where the sun is not visible. When the material manifestation appears very wonderful, so the material manifestation is compared to darkness. When the material manifestation appears very wonderful, and sometimes the material manifestation appears so wonderful, we see things, we look at the things that are composed of the material energy, and sometimes when we look at them, we become so excited. And we think, I want one of those. We imagine that it is wonderful. We anticipate how wonderful it's going to be if I only had that. So sometimes the darkness appears as if it was light. Remember the example, there is the sunshine, which is real light, that is the spiritual world. And then there is the world of darkness, and that is the material world. And when the material world sometimes appears very wonderful, this is due to the perverted reflection of the supreme sunshine. There is The sun is being reflected through Maya into this material element, and it looks very wonderful. But actually, when you get that thing that looked wonderful and you possess it, suddenly the glitter is gone and there is no pleasure there. The pleasure in the material world is anticipation, imagining that we will have pleasure when we possess this thing. We think, if I get that new carpet, I'll be so happy. And if I get this new stereo set, I'll be so happy. And if I get this house, and if I do this, and if I go here, go there, buy this, marry that one, divorce this one, get this education, lose that job, dreaming. If I go here, go there, grow long hair, cut short hair, dye my hair purple. You see, I saw one old lady in the supermarket. She was probably 60 years old. She had purple hair. I couldn't believe it. I said, "Do you know you're in Maya, my dear lady?" Meaning what? I didn't really say that, of course, but actually I didn't even think it because I was so amazed. But what does that mean? That the person is thinking, somehow, if I have purple hair, I will be happy. Now think about that. Will purple hair make us happy? No, but maybe green hair will. This is called Maya. When in our mind we project, due to Maya's influence, we project the reflection of the spiritual world, imagining that this is going to make me happy. I'm not pointing at you, by the way, when I'm doing that, Chris. Because the element that makes us reflect this Maya is what? That we are trying to enjoy this material world as if I am Krishna. As soon as we remove this spirit, this mood, if I am the enjoyer, then Maya cannot touch us. So, when the material manifestation appears very wonderful, this is due to the perverted reflection of the Supreme Sunshine, the Absolute Truth, as confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadyasyataha. Whatever one can see here has its substance, the actual reality, is in the Absolute. As darkness is situated far from the sun, so the material world is also far from the spiritual world. The Vedic literature directs us not to be captivated by the dark regions. The Vedic literature tells us, even though this may be glittering, and you may have the impression in your mind that if you have this, you will be happy, the Shastras say, no, don't listen to this. It is Maya speaking. So it is very cynical about the material world. Very cynical. The Vedic literature directs us not to be captivated by the dark regions, but try to reach the shining regions of the Absolute. The spiritual world is brightly illuminated, but the material world is wrapped in darkness. In the material world, sunshine, moonshine, or different kinds of artificial light are required to dispel darkness, especially at night. For by nature, the material world is dark. It is dark by nature. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has arranged for sunshine and moonshine, but in his abode, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no necessity for lighting by sunshine, moonlight, or electricity, for everything is Svayam Prakash, self-luminous, self-illuminating. So this, we're trying to understand yata, basho, yata, tama, the reflection of the Maya is the reflection of the spiritual world within the world of matter by which We see things separate from Krishna and try to enjoy them as if we were Krishna. Of course, we may not be thinking, I am Krishna. But as if we were Krishna, we have that mood of being the enjoyer. And I heard Prabhupada mention in a lecture tape this morning that Krishna is the Purusha. He is Purusha means the male. Male means the enjoyer. He is Purushottam, the supreme enjoyer. But in this material world, whether one is male or female, everyone is thinking, I am Purusha, I am enjoyer, and trying to make these arrangements. So here's what Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj says about this verse a little later on. This is Jnan Vigyan Vivek. Actual spiritual knowledge and its practical application are considered in all these sound vibrations, meaning this Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. Although the external energy comes from me, Krishna says, I am different from it. Sometimes a reflection of the sun is experienced in place of the sun, but its illumination is never possible independent of the sun. When one is transcendentally situated, he can perceive me, Krishna says. This perception, being able to perceive Krishna, is the basis of one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. When one is above Maya, one can directly perceive Krishna. And this is the basis of one's relationship. In other words, while one is captivated within the world of the reflection, wanting to enjoy those things composed of the material energy, then one can never be with Krishna. So therefore, just like water and starting a fire, you pour water and start a fire on it, and it doesn't work, the fire won't start. So as long as we are captivated by the reflection of Maya, we will never be able to see Krishna. Now, Kaviraj Goswami says, now let me further explain this subject matter. What appears to be truth without me, this is the verse, Ritayuritam Yat Pratyeta, what appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy, for nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of a real light in the shadows, for in the light there are neither shadows nor reflection. And Jiva Goswami in Bhagavad Sandarbha explains. Explains that when we think about Krishna, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, who exists in the spiritual world by Vaikuntha the Loka Vrindavan, when we think about him, we should understand that his guna, rupa, and karmaka, and his existence have nothing to do with the world of matter. So to make the distinction between himself, where he has spiritual form and spiritual activities, and his very form is composed of Satchidananda, knowledge, bliss, eternity. To make the distinction between that spiritual form and the forms of this world, the forms of matter, he explains this verse, Shiva Goswami says, that describes the action of Maya, that makes us see things in the material world. Well, actually, he is different. The Lord himself is different. The word yatabhasha gives the example of a reflection. This is what Jiva Goswami says. Darkness is here compared to a reflection. Darkness may mean either that there is no light in a certain place, although light shines in other places, or darkness may also mean that light does not shine in a certain place, although the beholder, that light does shine in a certain place, although the beholder has no eyes to see it. So in this place, the material world, the light does not shine because our eyes are closed. We are blinded by Maya, looking into the reflection. We have been blinded like the boys become blinded when the mirror shines in their eyes. The word vidyat, to know, means, there's a technical grammatical explanation here, but the instruction, the Lord says by saying this, with the power I give, you will be able to see and understand me. Transcending material vision, you will directly see and understand me, whose forms and qualities are transcendental. By turning from the illusion of matter, one may understand me. The conclusion is that my transcendental form and qualities cannot be seen or understood by a person in the thrall of material illusion. For this material illusion should be given up. Without giving up material illusion, it is not possible to love the Supreme Personality of God. Without giving up material illusion, it is not possible to love Krishna, because one is blinded. One cannot see. One has to turn to the light. Tamasama jyotigama. Turn from the darkness to the light. That means turn to Krishna. Now the process of doing that will be explained, as well as the goal of what and how powerful love for Krishna is. The process of achieving love for Krishna, avideyatattva and prayojan, that goal of love for Krishna will be explained in the next two verses. Let's read more of Prabhupada's purport here. Now, we see this material world and we want to understand what its nature is. Is it false? Because the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, say the material world is false. But the Vaishnavas say there is an illusion that we attach to the material world, but it is not false. Prabhupada explains, misconceiving one thing for another thing is called illusion. For example, accepting a rope as a snake is illusion. But the rope is not false. The rope, as it exists in front of the illusion person, is not at all false. But the acceptance of the rope as a snake is illusory. So a technical distinction is made between illusion and it is false. Because the Mayavadis say jagat mitya, that the world is false. But the devotees say it is not false, but we're accepting one thing for another thing. We're accepting something that is real. A rope is real and a snake is real. There are ropes and there are snakes. But the acceptance of a rope for a snake is illusion. It is not false, because ropes and snakes both exist. Therefore, the wrong conception of accepting this material manifestation as being divorced from the energy of the Lord is illusion, but it is not false. And this illusory conception is called the reflection of the reality in the darkness of ignorance, that is Maya. Anything that appears as apparently not being produced out of my energy is called Maya. Now, there are two ways that this Maya manifests. The conception that the living entity is formless, or that the Supreme Lord is formless, is also an illusion. In the Bhagavad Gita, It is said by the Lord in the midst of the battlefield that the warriors standing in front of Arjuna himself, and even the Lord, had all existed before. They were existing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and they would all continue to be individual personalities in the future also. Even after the annihilation of the present body, and even after being liberated from the bondage of material existence. In all circumstances, the Lord and the living entities are individual personalities, and the personal features of both the Lord and the living beings are never abolished. Only the influence of the illusory energy, the reflection of light in darkness, can, by the mercy of the Lord, be removed. So the first illusion is that we are actually the supreme and we have no form. And if we remove Maya, this is illusion, this is not true. If we remove Maya's energy, then we will be the supreme. No. This is an illusion. And the other illusion is to see those things in the material world as if they were meant for our enjoyment, or that they are false, they don't really exist, but actually they are a reflection of the spiritual world, and they exist in their full in their actual perfection in the spiritual world. Persons with a poor fund of knowledge become illusioned, and therefore the so-called scientists, physiologists, empiric philosophers, etc., become dazzled by the glaring reflection of the sun, the moon, the electricity, and they deny the existence of the Supreme Lord, putting forward theories and different speculations about the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of everything material. So the point that Prabhupada is making is that when we look at this material world, we want to see it as it is. We don't want to see it in an illusory way, and we don't want to see it in a false way. But if we are in darkness, if we are dazzled by the reflection of the material world, we will not be able to see things accurately, no matter how intelligent we are, no matter how capable we are. We will only be able to see things through the lens of our own darkness, through the lens of Maya. And therefore, through that lens, we come out with so many illusory theories. The scientists, the philosophers, in darkness, looking through darkness, they come to conclusions that are ultimately only darkness. So the two elements, the two activities of Maya, are that Maya takes away our real knowledge of everything in our own relationship with Krishna, and it gives us a false knowledge. It throws us down and covers us. It takes away our real knowledge and gives us a false knowledge of who we are and what the material world is and where the creation of the material world is, etc. Now, how can we actually get knowledge, true knowledge, and understanding the actual nature of the material world? And Prabhupada explains very clearly that one has to get that knowledge through Guru Parampara, through Shastra, and through the disciplic succession. Otherwise, it will not be possible for us to understand things accurately. I'll just read the last part of the purport over here. It's about midway through the next to last paragraph. Where Prabhupada describes our own position as reflections of the Lord, because we have a relationship with Krishna, but we are forgetting that. Therefore, the living entity, the living energy represented by the living entities, is the reflection of the Lord, and never the Lord Himself. Being the reflection of the Lord, the existence of the living entity is dependent on the Supreme Lord, who is the original light. The material energy may be compared to darkness, as actually it is darkness. And the activities of the living entities in the darkness are reflections of the original light. The Lord should be understood by the context of this verse. Non-dependence of both the energies of the Lord is explained as maya or illusion. To see anything as not dependent on Krishna is exactly the view that maya gives us. We are dependent on Krishna as all the material energy is dependent upon Krishna. That is the meaning of the verse that we read yesterday. Non-dependence of both the energies of the Lord is explained as maya or illusion. Seeing either ourselves as separate from Krishna or the material energy as separate from Krishna is the work of maya. No one can make a solution of the darkness of ignorance simply by the reflection of light. By our own power, by the power of maya, we cannot understand things accurately. Similarly, no one can come out of material existence simply by the reflected light of the common man. One has to receive the light from the original light itself. The reflection of sunlight in the darkness is unable to drive out the darkness. But the sunlight outside the reflection can drive out the darkness completely. In darkness, no one can see the things in a room. Therefore, a person in the dark is afraid of snakes and scorpions, although there may not be such things. But in the light, the things in the room can be clearly seen, and the fear of snakes and scorpions is at once removed. Therefore, one has to take shelter of the light of the Lord, as in the Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam, and not the reflective personalities who have no touch with the Lord. No one should hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam from a person who does not believe in the existence of the Lord. Such a person is already doomed, and any association with such a doomed person makes the associator also doomed. According to the Padma Purana, within the material compass, there are innumerable material universes, and all of them are full of darkness. Any living being, beginning from Brahmas, there are innumerable Brahmas in innumerable universes, to the insignificant ant are all born in darkness, and they require factual light from the Lord to see him directly, just as the sun can only be seen by the direct light of the sun. No lamp or man-made torchlight, however powerful it may be, can help one see the sun. The sun reveals itself. Therefore, the action of different energies of the Lord or the personality of Godhead himself can be realized by the light manifested by the causeless mercy of the Lord. The impersonalists say that God cannot be seen. God can be seen by the light of God and not by man-made speculations. Here, this light is specifically mentioned as Vidyat, which is an order by the Lord to Brahma. This direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal energy, and this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. Not only Brahma, but anyone who may be graced by the Lord to see such merciful direct internal energy can also realize the personality of Godhead without any mental speculation. So we are in the world of darkness. And how does one get light or knowledge of reality in the world of darkness? Most people are content in the world of darkness, trying to enjoy the things darkly, but are never happy. But to awaken their real understanding of who they are and what the items of the material energy is, one needs one needs Krishna's order, or the light coming from Shastra, the light coming from devotional service, which comes in Guru Parampara. Okay. Thank you very much for your patience. Very technical subject matter. Listen very carefully, and I thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.